Welcome to Kick-Ass Couples Nation Behind the Scenes, where you get exclusive footage just for our members. Listen in to hear our fantastic guests respond to a few extra questions and get further insight into how these committed couples handle areas we all wonder about in our own relationships.
Oh, behind the scenes. So we're going to ask just a few more questions for you guys. And the first one I'd like to lead off with is, Ariel, what is the biggest challenge that you and Kyle have faced in your relationship? And what did you do to overcome it?
So I would say the biggest challenge for us was making sure that we, I'm going to say that for me specifically, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but it was the communication from a conflict perspective. So for us, it was understanding how we each handle conflict, how we each view conflict, and being able to understand each other and actually respect the space that specifically I need when there is any sort of conflict. And how we handled it, I guess, is unfortunately going through the trenches of it, right? Going through it over and over and over again, and finding like there were times where I didn't even understand how I handled conflict. Like I wasn't aware to it. I wasn't privy to, you know, well, I do shut down, or, you know, I get to a point where I can't actually process my thoughts. And like, I almost like black out in a sense. Like, I don't know what my thoughts are. I don't know what I'm thinking. Like, I just need that space. And so for us, I think going through it over and over again allowed me to understand what I need when conflict arises so that I could communicate it to him and so that he could have understanding with it. And same goes for him. I think, you know, seeing his family, again, we were in the car one time and his mom were, they were fighting on the phone about like what time they were going to be there for dinner, and they were fighting, and there was, you know,
just skirmishing back and forth.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, there were the
intense
tone,
fellowship.
Yeah. The tone was a little bit higher than I was used to. And I was like, what is happening right now? And then like all of a sudden the end of the phone call comes and they're like, okay, see you soon. And then we get to their, his parents' house.
Yeah. Bye, love
and
you.
Yeah, they're hugging and they're like, hey, how was your drive? And I'm like, you guys just
what just happened?
For like 15 minutes, what happened? And so for me to like understand that he doesn't need to hold on to conflict and he can literally be over it in a matter of seconds or minutes, like allowed me to understand and actually look at it and go, okay, neither one of these ways of handling conflict is necessarily wrong. We just have to know what is our more natural tendency and allow ourselves to not only grow in it and get, you know, better in a sense at it, but not hold judgment towards the other person for not handling conflict in the same way.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Would you add anything to that, Kyle, or do you?
Well, I'll just add an additional perspective to the question. I would say that one other conflict that we had early on in our marriage was the physical intimacy part. And that was primarily because it just happened to be a season where we were both gung-ho and growing our own businesses, yeah, that we forgot, like, it's probably a good idea to like go on a date night and probably a good idea to like look at each other in ways that were outside of a business relationship. So yeah, we learned that early on, the importance of prioritizing romance and going back to that sexual attraction, going back to that physical intimacy, going back to like making space and time for that romance that got us together in the first place. Because without that, we just become really strong business partners. But we, you know, but she at the end of the day is also my wife. So being able to put the hat, take yes, the business hat off and put the romance hat on was a really big lesson that we learned, to the point now where we go on more date nights than ever before and we encourage others to do the same.
So yeah, you get to wear the romance hat a lot, Kyle.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a lot. You don't ever want to
on him.
You don't want that hat collecting dust in the closet somewhere.
No. Well, I always tell people I'm not a hat guy because of the hair, but you know what?
Yeah.
I'll whip it out for on special occasion for sure.
There you go.
It's so critical for our listeners to hear you have to keep dating each other.
Yes. That's right.
And you have to keep romancing each other, which is a perfect segue into my next question, which is, Ariel, what do you need from Kyle to achieve the highest level of intimacy?
Ooh,
great question.
Yes. Are you interested in this answer?
I'm very interested. Yeah, I'm paying attention. I should take those.
I'll send you the transcripts, Kyle. No worries. Right.
So what I need is I need to feel desired as a person not just for the act. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Not just like, you know, he's a man and he needs the sexual, you know, attraction and all of that, but more so like, I need to feel like you want me as a person, not just you want the act. And so that's the biggest thing for me. And again, and this probably comes back to feeling appreciated, feeling like he respects me. He views me as the person that I am. And so that's what I would say.
Yeah, I'm learning.
How about you, Kyle? What would you like from Ariel to receive that highest level of intimacy?
This is going to sound so shallow, but it's just the honest answer. It's like the inverse of that. Like in other words, like I'm very open in terms of sharing my emotions, and Ariel is as well with me. But I would say, I always tell her to send me like the bat signal. What the bat signal is like, if she dresses a certain way, that to me, like that triggers, like she's actually interested. Instead of like in, you know, physical intimacy, I basically acquire like certain outfits that she wears is like sending the bat signal. If I see the signal, then I know it's okay to like pursue, versus if I was just going to pursue and, you know, it would just be like the wrong time, or just like completely off base, or a time where maybe she's not feeling like that. To me is what I would need. And it's what's helpful for me is it allows me to then choose the times where I could be a supportive husband, and choose the time where I could be like that, you know, more the romance guy, if that makes sense. It's just a helpful cue. Now, of course, with that like understanding that. The whole time where that is happening, obviously I'm learning and have learned to just really, really appreciate Ariel for who she is and treat her like, you know, we're in a fancy romance movie.
Sure. You know, like, and we have learned when you do that, it automatically leads to other things, right?
Yeah.
When you're holding hands, and when you're just, you know, talking and having really intimate and very vulnerable conversations, that's the kind of intimacy that brings us really closer together and leads to physical intimacy.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of, physical, there's like, some people say there's 6, some say there's 9, there's 15 different kinds of intimacy. And, you know, Kyle, I'm a guy, and, you know, guys go, oh yeah, sexual, that's how we are intimate. And it is a way, but for women, they're different creatures, as we know, and we're constantly learning how to figure that out. And if you navigate and work on all those other areas of intimacy, spiritual, right? You talked about prayer earlier, definitely. You know, intellectual. And there's physical touch too that is not sexual. It's, you know, it's playing with the hair, it's the back rub, it's holding hands, grabbing the hand, holding hand, you know, hugs. So we got a huge palette. And it sounds like, you know, from what Ariel was saying earlier, the more she knows that you're aware of all those other ways, it makes her, as it does my own bride, more interested and receptive in that final or different outcome that we're desirous of.
We had one couple that she expressed that she would watch her husband or listen to him pray with their younger son. And when he was finished and would come back into the room, she was just like, I was ready to jump his bones. That was just the hottest thing ever.
That was huge. She's like, I felt so intimate and close to him when I saw him doing that. And we're like, well, that's spiritual intimacy, right?
Yeah.
She felt so close to him because what she witnessed him doing for their son, their family. And
you
so,
know, it's interesting you and she's say like, that because there have been times, so I'm learning, you know, I'm taking mental notes here. Times too, where, you know, let's say we got off of a Zoom meeting that we were holding for our clients, or we get off of this, like, you know, big workshop that we're holding, and Ariel will look at me and she's like, man, you were on fire. Like, that was hot. Like just being passionate and being like good at what I'm doing. Like, apparently that's another good
one. I'm going to give two other ones. So to add to that, I also like really, I really appreciate when Kyle's very passionate. I don't like apathy. Apathy is like one of my biggest, like, turn offs, you know, pet peeves. I like when people have like passion towards something. And so for me, when Kyle like is showing a high degree of passion towards something, that is definitely the biggest turn on for me. And then secondly, I would also say I really like, I think you had mentioned intellectual intimacy. We like consider ourselves, I guess, like pretty intellectual. Like we like to have deeper intellectual conversations. And that's also one of the most attractive things to me is somebody who can, I heard somebody word it once as like mental volley with you. Sure. And that's also something that's extremely attractive for me.
And, and just to be fair, I have noticed too that when we are emotionally intimate, that is what can beget the physical intimacy. I have noticed that. We've actually noticed that like on accident. So we're still taking notes, like where if we do have like an intense disagreement or there's some tears shed, even between two of us, for whatever reason, all of a sudden now like the cloud is lifted and we're able to engage in other areas of intimacy.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I have one final question for you all on our behind the scenes here. And I'm just going to ask you to fill in the blank. And Kyle, I'm going to ask you to go first. The key to a successful marriage is blank.
Unity.
Unity. All right. Ariel, I'm going to ask you to fill in the same blank. The key to a successful marriage is?
Be each other's biggest fans.
Beautiful. Great answers, guys.
You guys are rock stars.
Tell you what. Yeah. Well, I know, Kyle, it sounds like you said you literally were, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, but I'm talking about as a couple, Kyle. It's an us thing. You guys, the two of you.
That's right. It's not about me.
Well, thank you so much. We've loved spending time together and getting to know you guys a little bit better. Thank you for being on the podcast.